the skipper of the 2023 and 24 Kansas City Royals, is kind enough to join us right now. Q, Matt Cotrero, thank you very much for the time. How are you?
Good to see you, Vern. I'm doing well.
Boy, if anyone deserves the kind of influx of talent that this team has seen this offseason, it's got to be you. How nice was it after grinding through a difficult debut campaign to get those type of reinforcements?
Well, I don't know if I deserve it, but you know, I'm certainly happy to get these guys in, the proven veterans to balance the talent. And then, you know, it becomes our responsibility to blend the two together, because it's not new guys and young guys or veterans and new guys, whatever it is. It's one team, and we need to work through that. But I think the guys that came in have that mentality. They're here to win. They're here to prove that it can be done. And, you know, we're really excited to have them.
Is there a lesson that stands out in year one as a manager? I'm sure there's countless. But this offseason, is there one bouncing around where can't wait to implement what I learned in this specific aspect?
Yeah, like you said, I don't know if there's just one. You know, I mean, it's a tough industry to win in, you know, because for all the positive thoughts we have, all the things that we think are good going into this year, there's countless other teams that are banking on the same kinds of growth from their young guys or performance from the guys they bring in. And that's what baseball brings, right? Hope springs eternal every year, right? So, you know, but this is a daily game, and you can't fast forward to think you're going to be in the playoffs. I mean, you can see that year after year after year based on payrolls around the league and those kinds of things. But my one, you know, if I had to boil it down to one thing, is really how hard it is to win every night and how many things have to go right for you to win a game night in and night out. And it's hard to stack those on top of each other.
Matt Cotrero joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. I want to talk about a few of those young ball players, beginning with Bobby Witt Jr. And I don't want to talk about expectations, because you're not going to put a ceiling on a young man that talented. But do you find yourself struggling to balance what's even possible for Bobby? Because I'll sit and project, and there's nothing that's too far-fetched when it comes to a young man with that much talent. Do you sit and ruminate about what could be?
Well, I mean, I think that's the exciting part about Bobby, is he doesn't view it as what he could be down the road. He views it as tonight, you know, and proving himself night in and night out. And when he has that mindset, that we get to reap the rewards of watching it, you know, whether it be a incredible over-the-shoulder catch or a diving play up the middle or stealing all the bags and hitting for power. You know, it's such a nice thing to see when it comes from such a humble person that really cares not only about himself but about the team above all, and a great family guy and all that kind of stuff. So to me, what's most rewarding is that you're genuinely happy for him as a person because of who he is, and that how much the other guys respect what he does. That's what makes him special.
Bobby, I spoke with MJ earlier, a guy like Vinny, the young core of this Royals organization. When they first stepped into the big league clubhouse, it's Whit Merrifield, it's Salvi, it's Hunter Dozier and Nicky Lopez, guys that have been around for a while. I'm curious how much you're hoping that they take. Not that they hadn't in the past, but this is now our team. For as much as you bring in Lugo and Renfro and Waka, the Royals' way begins with Bobby, Vinny, MJ, and some of those young guys. Is that a hope as we get ready for spring?
Well, I mean, I think I would go a little further than that it's been here for a long time, the Royals' way, quote-unquote. You know, these guys are indoctrinated. They play the game hard. They run the bases hard. They're good people. They care about each other. What needs to change is getting us to swing those games in the middle, that not the middle of the game, but the ones that are on the edge of winning and losing, which happens the overwhelming majority of the time. And sometimes that's mental, but a lot of times it's also physical, as far as calming yourself down in the box in that opportune moment, or making the pitch when the crowd gets loud and you're on the road, and being able to get their best hitter out with a couple guys on. And those kinds of things, we have to stack those little victories together night in and night out to swing the results of the games. We can't look at it as this is now our team, these three guys, because you can't go out there and play 3-on-9. You know, you have to play 9-on-9 every inning. And that's something that these guys are aware of, is no one guy can come out here and be a big league player without every other piece around him working. And I think that humility and that belief in the organization and the depth that JJ and Mr. Sherman have put together this winter, that's going to help us tremendously to withstand these ups and downs of a typical major league season.
I want to ask about Michael Garcia. What has he shown you this offseason? I'm just watching highlights online, yeah. But what has he shown you, I guess, over the past 12 months? What has he proven to himself? How are those conversations going?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've been in touch with him regularly just through messaging on WhatsApp, watching the highlights and those kinds of things. You know, winter ball is a different dynamic for anybody that's not familiar with it. I mean, the passion, the pageantry that goes on down there, the pride for their – not only their – team, but their country and how these games are approached. I mean, it's basically like a wrestling match every night, and you never know what you're going to see. But just the on-the-field performance, from what I've heard and the little bit I've seen, Michael's defense has been tremendous at third, which we saw here last year. He didn't qualify for the batting title because of plate appearances, but I think he was far and away leading the league in batting average. Driving the ball a little bit more than he was last summer here. And just the growth, you know, I mean, he's, as you know, related with Acuna and Escobar and those guys. And I think that's only going to help grow his – he's got that sense for the game, but that's just going to continue to – that relationship's going to continue to grow those. You know, so I'm super excited to see him back. He's getting his visa taken care of this weekend in the Dominican. He plans, you know, he'll be there on time. And so we're really excited. I hope he's, you know, got some left in the tank after all the emotion and all that stuff. But, you know, I've been part of those before, and it's just what those guys are accustomed to. You know, the winter ball atmosphere, it's almost like something they need to thrive on. I remember years ago talking to Marco Scudero, who played for decade mm-hmm. in the big leagues, if not more, and he said the 1 or 2 years I didn't play winter ball, I felt like I didn't even know what I was doing, you know. So I think Michael's that kind of guy. He wants to play every single inning.
And I got to think, where he was a year ago at this time, he's checked a lot of boxes for himself, just confidence-wise, heading into 2024. How about Cole Reagans? What type of impact could he make on this team? I'm not trying to put, you know, heap expectations on him, but how much of a pendulum swinger can he be?
Well, I mean, you saw what he did for us, you know, was it August pitcher of the month? August?
I mean, the whole second half of the season, he was one of the
best but in the American League pitcher of the month, you know, and I think his drive, what stood out about him more than anything is a guy that had limited major league innings to have the preparation and the determination and the drive that he has. And that carried over into the offseason. You know, he's immediately, you know, took some rest, but immediately working to improve even what he did last year. Because, you know, you guys get bored of me saying this, but it is a day in and day out game, right? And year in and year out. He wants to be good for a long time, and he realizes that he can't rest on what he did last, you know, 2 or 3 months of the season, because everybody else is working to get better. And, you know, there's always somebody coming behind you, not only on our team, but on every other team that you have to compete with night in and night out. So his makeup is tremendous. He's going to learn from these guys that we brought in. But he's also a teacher because of the way he prepares and the way he approaches each day.
You've been around some great pitching staffs in your career. Hoping you can speak to what the additions of Waka and Lugo mean for a Reagans and Singer. You know, prior to those signings, fans would still be excited about Reagans and Singer, but there'd be a lot more pressure on them to duplicate their best. What can those two free agent signings do to not only help them grow, but alleviate some of that it's me or nobody feeling?
Well, I think those two guys are separate as well, because Lugo has a year as a starter in the big leagues, you know, spot starts and other times, but consistently getting starts. So he's still, you know, we really believe in him as a starter. He believes in himself. He's going to go out there with that motivation to show that that is what he is in the big leagues. Waka's been a starter for a long time in the big leagues. You know, so you're talking about two different guys, both veterans, but two different career paths. But what they bring is consistency. They throw strikes. They use their off speed. They know how to dial back big situations and compete with the best. They know what they do well. And I think even, you know, talking to Waka, you know, I was with him in 21, And he kind of turned a corner halfway through that year in his pitch evolution and usage. And so he's still learning who he is. And I think those kinds of things is what guys understand at some point. Like, I'm not a finished product ever. I can constantly evolve. You know, that's kind of thing that Greinke showed a lot of these guys last year as well.
Final thing for you, Salvi started 90 games behind the dish last season. Are you hopeful for a similar number in 24?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because that's something we talk about internally. It's something we talk about with Salvi. You know, his drive to play every day is tremendous. He did have a lot of success and did a good job playing first base as well. So we're gonna try to balance that the best we can. You know, we got a tremendous productive year last year out of Freddie.
Yeah.
And if beyond all else, Salvi wants to win. So if he knows that we have a better chance on any given night of winning a game with Freddie in there and him playing first or him DHing, whatever the case is, he's all for it. So I'm not going to put a set number, but you know, hopefully it's something close to that, where, you know, because we are better with Salvi in the lineup.
Q, fans are still piling in. I think they're chanting your name right now. So I'm going to let you go. I appreciate
the
time.
You got me to look.
I did. They're lining up. All right, appreciate it, Q. Thank you very much. Matt Quatrero, Royals skipper, joining us here on 610 Sports Radio, live from Kauffman Stadium.